Thank you for the welcome. It's lovely to be here again. That was Frank. Frank was our sign on one occasion. We wanted to create a study in the house we were living in, and one of the places possible was an indoor coal cupboard. Thought I'd make it a place where I could do some reading and praying and so on and so forth. And we'd recently spent quite a bit of money converting the loft. And so we didn't know whether to go ahead with this or not. And so we said, Lord, we need a sign. And the very next day, round came Frank to see us, because he'd done one or two jobs for us in the past. And he said, I'm out of work. He said, I've got nothing to do for the next two or three weeks. So we said, well, you have now, Frank. You're our sign. And Frank came in and converted these coal cupboards and made them quite a pleasant study, somewhere I could put my books and somewhere I could hide from Doreen and so on. You know, it was a wonderful place, a wonderful refuge. We need our refuges, don't we? So that was Frank. And as Nick said, he moved down to Ferndown. Always remember Frank, because when we moved into 37 Gloucester Crescent, Frank said, if there's anything I can do, he said, I'll come up and give you a week's work. So we said, okay, Frank, the whole place really needed painting and sprucing up, you know. So we arranged for Frank to come up, and he came up by car from Ferndown, and he wasn't very used to central London. So he said, when I was passing Buckingham Palace for the fourth time, he said, I thought I'd better stop and ask someone where I was going. So he stopped, and by a bus stop, I think it was, there was someone standing there, and he asked the way to Gloucester Crescent. He said, well, I'm going to the next road, Oval Road. He said, jump in, and he brought him to us. You know, God is a worker of miracles. He's doing all sorts of things right now in and for your life, because he loves you and he has a plan for you, and he's got things in store. And I've been asked to speak about healing and miracles and things like that. Wonderful, isn't it? You know, so stand with me. Praise the Lord. Believing God will move and touch our lives today. God is the healer, of course. And it was part and parcel of Jesus' everyday life, wasn't it, to heal people? So it's going on all the way. He sent out his disciples to him. He said, go, you know, and make disciples and so on. But he told them on other occasions, go and preach the gospel, heal the sick, deliver the demonized, and so on. And, you know, very innocently, they went out and did it. Wonderful, wasn't it? You know. And what I want to share today really may seem a strange sort of scripture, a strange passage to do with healing, but it has a phrase in it which I hope you will never forget. We're looking at the passage which is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane, you know, means an oil press. And when Jesus was in that garden, it was as if the enemy wanted to press every bit of oil, every bit of Holy Spirit, every bit of anointing out of him. He didn't want him to go through with the cross. You know? You know, we're here because of the cross, aren't we? We're here because Jesus loves everyone. He died for everyone. If there's anyone here this morning who has not come to terms with the fact that salvation is available and that your life can change, you can be born again, you can make a new start, don't go from this place until it's happened. It's the greatest thing that can happen to you. It's the great turning point in life, because it takes us out of death into life, real life. So if you're in that situation, don't leave before someone prays for you. Anyway, this is about Gethsemane, and it's to be found in Matthew chapter 26. And there's a long passage, so I'm just going to pick a few bits out of it. Begins at verse 31. They were in the garden, and Jesus warns them that the shepherd will be struck down, and all the sheep will be scattered. And Peter, being Peter, says, oh no, not me. He said, I'll stick with you. I'll stick with you. But if you look at the last verse of the same chapter, it says, then all the disciples left him and fled. So he had his trainers on as well as the rest of them. All right, they all did a runner. you know, when the chips were down, but not to condemn them for that. We know it was a hard situation. But Jesus goes on to pray. And again and again, you will be asked to pray. Again and again, there will be prayer meetings. But we know it's the essential thing in our lives to keep prayer going. And Jesus was in this very critical situation. He was going to have to make a big decision, really. We'll take it for granted that Jesus would go to the cross, but it wasn't an easy thing to do. I hesitate to try and even think about facing such a situation myself. You know, but to try and imagine it sometimes may not do us any harm, to realize the wonder and the power and the love that took Jesus through everything and into that position of being on the cross. And so he was going to pray, and he asked particularly Peter, James and John to come with him, and he wanted the disciples to pray with him, to stand with him, to back him up. And you know what they did, don't you? They fell asleep. I don't suppose you've ever fallen asleep praying, have you? I know I have. I always find the best way to pray really is to stand up and perhaps walk around, you know, because if you sit down and get nice and comfortable, the next minute you know the clock, somehow or other, someone's moved the hands of the clock. And they're not in the same position as they were when you last looked, you know. So it's good to stay awake, isn't it, when you're praying, even when you're preaching. Okay, so praise the Lord. So keep moving when you're praying, that's my advice. But they fell asleep. And Jesus said this in verse 41, and this is the essence of the basis of what I want to speak about. He says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And of course, they did fall asleep again. And when he went to them three times, each time they had fallen asleep. Right? And then it follows on, as you know, where Judas came and identified Jesus by kissing him, and he was arrested and so on. And so began the trials, which ended with his crucifixion. But Jesus said to them, he said, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. I want to say two things basically about healing. One is this, that we are all involved in healing. Okay? Not only does it say at the end of Mark, chapter 16, if I can find it here, familiar verses, but you'll know them, but just to read them. He says, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now that wasn't for any particular person, it wasn't for the 12, it wasn't for the general followers, disciples of Jesus, it's for everyone who names the name of Jesus as their Savior. Everyone who believes may be used in healing, and that includes you. Yes, you. Everyone. Every one of us. The other thing I want to say is that generally speaking, when I've been involved in people being healed or some sort of miracle, the most surprised person has been me, because God has generally come up and taken me unawares. All right? It's been an absolute surprise, if not a shock. All right? So I would say to you, put those two things together, that God can use you, and you may be surprised when God does it. Therefore, you need to keep watching and praying. I can't emphasize this enough. I mean, I'm listening to my message this morning because I need it as much, perhaps more than you do. Keep watching. Keep on the alert. That's what it means. Don't fall asleep. I hate to think of what's happening to this country and to all sorts of situations, because we've been asleep. And we need to wake up. And we need to be awake to the purposes of God, the voice of God, as to what He wants to do in and through us. We are here to bring in the kingdom of God. That's why we pray, Thy kingdom come. God could have done it on His own, but He decided to help. He wants a bit of help. He wants us. And He's looking for opportunities. He, God, is looking for opportunities. He's looking for people. He's looking for situations where He can come and intervene and do things, including healing. And the only way He'll do it is if we're available. We're willing. All right? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We want to pray, but we fall asleep. You know, that's us, isn't it? But don't get worried about it or condemned about it, because fortunately God forgives us and there's always a new start. You can be born again into the kingdom of God and you need to start again and again every day. At least that's how I find it, you know. But God wants us really to be on the alert. That's what He's saying. Be spiritually alert. Look it out. Start to recognize what is happening. Just not only in your own life, your individual life, your country, so on, your church, and so on. God is looking right now at us for opportunities to move and do things. And so we need to pray, because praying is not only speaking, but listening. And if He's looking and He wants to say something, if we're not listening, we won't hear. It's very simple, isn't it? Watching and praying, being alert and keeping in touch with God. Very, very simple, really. But not always easy to get into. I've been asked to give a few sort of incidents that have happened, experiences, because I pray there'll be an encouragement. They'll encourage me. I hope they'll encourage you. Okay? I remember one occasion when we hadn't been down here long. We were at number 37. And we had a young woman in the fellowship. And she said, there's a woman where I'm working who's having a lot of trouble with her hands. She worked on a keyboard thing and she had a lot of pain and difficulty and so on. I mean, it might cost her her job. So she said, would you see her and perhaps pray for her? So I said, yes, okay. So we arranged. I remember it was Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock, she was coming. And she came to the house, and to my surprise, she had a man with her who turned out to be her husband. I didn't know he was coming. But anyway, they both came in, and we started talking, because started with her. She wasn't saved. She wasn't a believer, but she had this pain, and she wanted to get rid of it. And as we were talking, God was speaking to me. You know, He can do that. He's very, very good at this sort of thing, if we're listening. And He said, it's the marriage. So I thought, something funny about the marriage. So we went on talking, and the man got drawn into this. You know, he was an unbeliever. In fact, he classified himself as an atheist. He was a believer that there is no God, you know, that sort of believer. Because you have to be a believer to be an atheist, don't you? And it's a different sort. Okay, but and it turned out that he had arthritis in his legs, pains in his legs, you see. So I said, well, when were you married? And I can't remember when it was. It wasn't long ago, you see, maybe within the 12 months or so. They weren't young people. They were middle-aged. So I said, well, what happened? Well, she said, the woman said, my husband left me for another woman. Sorry, get it right. He said, my wife left me for another man. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Yeah, he was talking. His wife had left him, that's right. And so he decided he'd like another wife. And so he deliberately involved himself with this woman in order to break up her marriage and and marry her. That's exactly what he did. When I asked when all the trouble started, the pains in the hands and the arthritis in the legs, it all went back to the day they were married. Which was interesting, wasn't it? Really. So of course there needed to be quite a bit of repenting and forgiveness and all sorts of things. Well, it was very difficult because they weren't believers. And so in the end, they didn't get through to faith because he was a really established atheist and she wasn't far off it. But I said, because the Lord loves you, I said, and to show his love, he will heal you. And I prayed for each one, including this husband who was so against. And God delivered him from his arthritis. As he walked down the stairs out of our house, and you had to go down to the front door and so on, all the pain went. And she was healed of all the pain in her hands and was able to carry on her job. But you see, God caught me by surprise, really. He gave me the way in. And I was not expecting it. It was the last thing I expected. You know. And it can happen to you. It can happen to you. I don't know whether they ever became believers. I've no idea. Had no further contact with them whatsoever. But at least they knew that God was alive and he was working and so on. And that's one of the things people know when they're healed or when a miracle happens, because they know it's not them. They know it's not really the person who's prayed or whoever it is. And so they come eventually round to the conclusion that God is alive and well. And that's the first stage very often in people being healed. And that's what often, of course, Jesus did in his ministry. Often it was through someone being healed that they became a follower, a disciple of his, even a missionary. You know, all sorts of things happen through healing. So it's very valuable. Healing very often comes through words that are spoken. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." No wonder when he spoke healing, they got healed. Because the life of God, the life of the Spirit, was in his words, and it touched the people concerned, and they were healed. It can come in worship. Thank you for leading the worship and all the musicians. It's tremendous. It's not only a wonderful job to help us to worship God, but it's a vehicle. It's a way in which God can visit us and do things. I remember in my early days that we were having some public meetings, and at the end of one of them, an old gentleman, must have been at least as old as me, came up to the front of the meeting, and he said, as I was sitting there, he said, "For several years now, I've had no feeling in my legs." He said, "And as I was worshiping God, just sitting there," he said, "all the feeling came back." And he said, "I feel fine." He said, "I feel fine." Wonderful, isn't it? Nobody laid hands on him or prayed for him. You know, that's another method. Okay, God sovereignly came in and touched that man as he worshipped. Worship is a wonderful vehicle for miracles and for healing. Sometimes all you have to do is give thanks. The greatest miracle we've ever seen was by... there's a lot of processes before it, which I won't go into. But in the end, when God gave me a vision of this person's back, and or of someone's back, and I said, God wants to touch someone's back and heal it, you know, and so on. And this woman came out, and God spoke to me, and he said, "All I want you to do is take her and together just thank me for what I'm going to do." She had 4 crushed discs in her spine. And we just stood there and together said, "Thank you, Lord, for healing Kathy." And he straightened her up. She walked straight back to her seat. The operation was cancelled. She was totally healed. Hallelujah. And gratitude and thankfulness is something we need to practice, isn't it? It doesn't always have that result, but it'll have some result to be thankful. Sometimes it's by praying for people, as you know. We're here, and we're already one or two people have talked about praying for them, so we're getting some customers. But we'd love to pray for you if you need prayer at the end of this meeting. But I'm sure Doreen remembers this as vividly as I do, but we were in Belgium. We frequently went to a church based in Waterloo, of all places, just on the border of France and Belgium. And the pastor there, he got people saved from other villages and so on, and eventually he would start up a little group in that village, perhaps a sort of prayer meeting to start with, and eventually they would sort of graduate to having meetings and so on. And we went there as one of these meetings. It was in a garage. They'd knocked the back wall out of the garage, so it made it longer, and I suppose could hold something like 30 people, though I doubt if there were more than 20 there on that occasion. And at the end, we'd worshipped and I'd spoken and so on. At the end, we were offering to pray for people. And a woman came out with a young woman on her arm. And I've never seen anyone look so terrible in all my life. She hobbled out, you know, and she looked dark. She looked dreadful, this woman. She could hardly stand or walk or anything else. And the Lord sort of led me to pray for her. First of all, she needed salvation and she needed healing and she needed quite a lot of deliverance. And so we spent a little bit of time with her and prayed. And at the end, she went back to her seat. And that was on a Thursday. I think it was a Thursday evening. The following Sunday, we were at the sort of mother church and a meeting in the morning and an extra meeting in the afternoon. That was for baptisms. They were going to baptize some folk. And we were there. And at the end of the meeting, this young fellow came up to me with this young woman and he said, this is so-and-so. He said, I don't remember her name. He said, you remember you prayed for her on Thursday evening. I said, what? I couldn't recognize her. It was incredible. She was young, she looked lovely, she had a healthy complexion, you know, she was fine, all her limbs were working, you know, and so on and so forth. It was absolutely unbelievable, if you like. Shouldn't use that word, should I? But you know what I mean. It was far beyond anything I could ever have imagined when that woman came out to pray for her. And God will do these things if we're faithful to Him. He will bring people into our lives. It could be your next door neighbor. When we were living here, we regularly played for people in an Indian family next to us. Hallelujah. You know, when they couldn't get their son out of the toilet in the morning, they decided the best way was for us to pray, you know. And if anyone was sick, we were called in to pray. We got some unusual prayer requests. But they're all opportunities for God. They're all opportunities for Him to prove His reality and His love. So don't lose them. Keep alert. You know, respond to these opportunities. Sometimes, as you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And when it comes to healing, it talks about gifts of healing. Not just one, but many. And you may have come across this in certain meetings that certain types of sickness seem to be dealt with. And I have found in my own life that one of the things God has used me quite a bit for is dealing with pain. I'll just give one or two illustrations of this. You know, when we pray for people, sometimes they go over, you know, they go back or forward or whatever happens. Well, we were in this little flat in a town in Hungary, and our interpreter informed me that all the people in that town who were baptized in the Spirit were present in that room. I think there were 10 of them, you know, but that was it. And so we had our usual worship and speak and so on, and then people started to ask us to pray. I remember the first a couple asked us to pray. They were just married. She was pregnant, and they were wondering, the Iron Curtain had just come down a few years before, and they were wondering about offering for the ministry, really, to go and train the Bible college and so on. They wanted us to pray. So we prayed with them. And it so happened that each person seemed to have something to pray for, so we were sort of going around the room. And then in the end, we were finished with one woman who we hadn't prayed for. And as I looked at this woman, I've never seen such sadness and suffering in my life, really. I'm sure she was 20 years younger than she looked. she was big and heavy, overweight, and just looked dreadful. So I asked, you know, through my interpreter what her need was and so on, and said, well, she's got pain all over her body. Pain all over her body. So I said, well, let's pray. So we laid hands on her and prayed. And I can't really describe what happened, but it was just as if the floor gave way and she went straight down. She didn't go backwards or forwards. She went straight down. She seemed to sort of vanish downwards, you know, like that. But praise God, when she got up, all the pain had gone. Every bit of pain. Hallelujah. Don't worry about whether people fall down or run around or whatever they do. It's the result that matters, isn't it? It's really what God has done that happens. And that was her. I had a number of similar instances in Hungary, really, because I was staying with a pastor, and he took me around to visit some of his flock. First one was one who died. We went to a funeral. That was a bit late for that. So we went on to visit an elderly couple. He was 93 and she was 86. And when we got there, the wife spoke to us because he was in a terrible state. And she said, he won't let me call the doctor. He won't let me call a hospital or get him to hospital. He's in so much pain that he just wants to die. He was 93. I suppose he thought it was about time. So he wanted to die. So we said, well, would he like us to pray? So yes, all right, he agreed to prayer. So we started to pray, and there was the pastor and his wife and me, three of us, and we prayed. And we prayed, and we kept praying. And within 20 minutes, every bit of pain had gone. Hallelujah. We tucked him up in bed. He went fast asleep at peace with the world. Hallelujah. God can deliver people of all sorts of things, and we just need to be aware of this. Actually, the pastor's wife, she'd been involved the previous Sunday, because they had two churches in this little village, and in the afternoon one, afternoon meeting, a Reformed church it was, and I'd spoken and offered to pray, and nobody wanted any prayer. So there were some young people in the congregation. I said, would they like me to pray? Oh, yes, they'd like me to pray. So I went round and prayed for them. And then no one else. Well, the pastor's wife, her hand gradually went up. She said, I've got a terrible pain in one knee, you see. So I prayed for her, and the pain went. And when I turned round from praying for her, I had a queue right down the middle of the church, you know, because there were, in fact, lots of needs, as is usually the case, you know. But they came out for prayer, and we continued that. Just one more was just a few months ago. We were in a cell group, and a middle-aged lady, she'd been on holiday in Florida. She'd fallen and broken her wrist, and they patched it up and put it together, and the bones, I think, were okay, but she was still in a lot of pain. So she asked us to pray. We prayed, and the pain went. Hallelujah. It's lovely, isn't it? Nobody likes pain, do they? Especially when it goes on. And she was delivered of that. But there are all sorts of ways I've experienced God moving. One of the most powerful ones has been when I've had a picture, a vision, if you like, spiritually, of a sickness or God wanting to do something in someone's life. Like the one with the back. I had one with a person with a most peculiar ear. The Lord showed me as I was praying one Saturday afternoon. This was in a French town called Albi. And I was praying in the afternoon, and he showed me this person with a very strange ear. Turned out that it wasn't, it had been produced by plastic surgery, really. It wasn't a normal ear. And when I went to the Saturday evening meeting, in came this chap who had the ear. And in the middle of it, a hearing aid. So I said to my interpreter, I said, if that man doesn't come out at the end of the meeting, drag him out, because he's going to get healed. He's going to get his hearing back. Anyway, he came out voluntarily, which was nice. Prayed for him. He went down like a shot, you know. And after a bit, when he came round, I said to the interpreter, I said, would you find out what happened? I was interested, really. And he said, well, as you prayed, he said, there was like a pop in his ear. And his hearing came back. It was an evil spirit stopping him from hearing. You know? Sometimes we can use scriptures. Doreen and I, when we're ministering individually in our home and so on, places like that, have a sort of way of doing things usually, which is that she prays mostly in tongues, and I sort of talk to the person and listen to God, and between us we try and get through and solve the problem. And we had this woman come to us one Monday evening, and she was suffering from disturbances in the night, you know, being visited by unpleasant things. And so we talked to her and found out in due course that she was unsaved. So we prayed for her and so on, and off she went. And during the week, the person who had contacted us for her to come said, oh, she's in hospital. She can't move her arm. Sort of paralyzed arm. So we thought, well, she had been due to come and see us the following week, because I wanted to follow it up and see, because she was going back to talk to her vicar about all this, and the fact that I suggested she got baptized in water, you know, I wondered what had happened. So anyway, I didn't expect her, because I thought she was in hospital, but then she turned up, and apparently she wasn't in hospital, she'd just been to hospital as an outpatient, just visiting. And it turned out that she couldn't move her arm. Well, it was a frozen shoulder, I believe, but she couldn't move this. She was in great pain and all the rest. So I said, well, we talked to her and so on, and eventually we started to pray. And God, as Doreen prayed in tongues and so on, I got the scripture from Mark chapter 3 when Jesus had the man with the withered arm, and he said, stretch out your arm. So I just told her to stretch out her arm in the name of Jesus, which of course she couldn't do. She was in terrible pain. She couldn't move it, you know. But I persisted. I said, stretch out your arm. And I kept on saying, stretch out your arm. So I said, well, is anything happening? Well, she said, the pain seems to have gone out of the lower part of my arm. It's still higher up, and I still can't move my arm. So I said, well, let's pray again, you know. So prayed again and so on, that this pain should go and she'd be freed up and all the rest of it. Then the telephone went, and it was this young man here who was on the telephone. So I went out to answer the phone call. Anyway, when I came back, there was this woman saying, it's okay now, it's okay now. She'd been delivered all pain and had perfect freedom in her arm. That was how that one happened. But we were in a place in Denmark, in a place called Randers, and a man came forward with something like similar sort of thing. I don't know what it was exactly, but he couldn't move his arm. I just told him, stretch out your arm, stick it up like this. And he did, to both our amazement, you know. But he did. God just touched him, and he freed up his arm. So sometimes it's by speaking, and we can use scriptures. There was one occasion where we asked God for a miracle. The first time we went to Hungary, we knew why we were going. We were going to talk to leaders of evangelical churches about the baptism and about the Holy Spirit, you know. And they gave us a rough ride. They weren't very keen on hearing. One in particular had written against the speaking in tongues and all that sort of thing, you know. And we were interrogated at one meeting for about 2 hours. And the main question was, do you have to speak in tongues? You know, but that was the translation. But anyway, we had quite a time at that meeting. And it was quite obvious that the people we were talking to, I mean, you might as well have been talking to a brick wall. That was that much response. So we went back to our campsite. We were camping. We had a tent and a car, of course. And so the next mornings, Doreen and I would sit in the car praying while our youngsters played or did what they wanted to do in the tent. And we said, Lord, we must have a miracle. These people do not believe. They will not believe about the Holy Spirit. They will not believe, you know, the basic truths about the Spirit in the Word of God. We must have a miracle. Lord, we must have a miracle. So we had another meeting, a bit like the first one, in a house, because this was when before the Iron Curtain came down, so you weren't supposed to have these meetings. They had to be secret. You had to keep quiet. If you sang a chorus, you sang it like that, you know, and all that sort of thing. And we had a bit of worship, and again, I spoke a bit, but mainly they wanted to hear my testimony. So I gave my testimony, and fortunately there was another guy there, it was a Hungarian pastor who'd had a similar experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. So he gave his testimony, so that was helpful too. But when we got to the end, they said, would you pray for some people? So Imri came out. He was a bit shorter than me, a bit wider than me, a bit thicker than me. He was, you know, like this, you see. He got a problem with his back. He'd had pain in his back from birth, you know, and he's in real trouble. He had a job to hold down his employment because of this. He was in a bad state. So we prayed for him and didn't really know what happened because, you know, it's very difficult when people are another nationality and speak another language. But anyway, what had happened apparently was this. After we prayed, he left the meeting with his wife. And within 100 yards or so, normally, he was leaning on his wife. The pain and problem in his back was so bad. And he suddenly found that he didn't need his wife's support. He could walk perfectly freely, and he had no pain at all. And a few days later, we visited him in his home, and he and his wife and children were all baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But a few years later, we went back. And some of these people who had most opposed us were now leading new churches filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We knew God had sent us. We knew why he sent us. And God had his way in the end. Though it was a bit of a struggle as far as we were concerned. As we saw it, you know, it was hard going. But as God saw it, he had it all in hand. So don't be afraid to ask. Sometimes we have to go on asking. I don't know how many times we asked God for that miracle, but it was a lot of times, you know. But eventually, He gave it to us. It's helpful, I believe, if we have compassion for people. You know, Jesus had great compassion. I'm sure some of his healing work and miracles came out of his compassion for people. And very interesting, you know what happened after the incident I was describing in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested, that Peter got all courageous, didn't he? Whipped out his sword and sliced off a slave's ear, you know? Good Christian thing to do if you're following Jesus. Get out your sword and lop off somebody's ear, you know? But the interesting thing is that despite Jesus' situation, you know, this decision he was facing, the cross and the humiliation, the pain, the torture, everything else you may have seen in the recent film, you know, by Mel Gibson. But all of that, despite all of that, he had time to heal that guy's ear. Can you imagine that? And very interesting, the only gospel in which that healing is mentioned is the Gospel of Luke. And Luke was a doctor. And doctors often have really great compassion. I believe they need it to be in their business, don't they, and to stay in it, really. But that's just a little thing, and I think it's an indication, really, that, you know, God loves us, and we can allow that love to flow through to other people. So, look out for opportunities. Look out for opportunities. I've occasionally asked God for opportunities when I felt I'm very underemployed. And I've been surprised at some of the things he's led me into. Not always to do with healing. But, you know, he's looking for opportunities. He says his eyes go up and down over the earth looking for folk. You know, those who need to know him to be saved. Those who he can use and move through in one way or another. So keep on the alert. Keep on the alert. Keep watching. Don't let barriers come in your life which separate you from God. If there's anything wrong, get it out, repent it, and receive God's forgiveness. Get clear of any obstacles. If you've got any this morning, I urge you, get on with it. Do business with God. Confess them. He's heard worse stories than yours. They won't shock him, but he'll be glad to forgive you and restore you to that relationship. Stay in love. Jesus' first greatest command was to love, wasn't it? To love God, to love others. Stay in love. In love. You know, people aren't always easy to love, are they? We're not always easy to love. But it's a command that we should love. Don't worry if the flesh is a bit weak. God uses the weakness that we have. Paul rejoiced in his weakness because it made him more dependent upon God so that God could use him and move through. Of course, faith is involved in healing very often and miracles. And I praise God that he was very gracious to us in that he brought incidents in our lives or people in our lives which made it very difficult not to have faith. Because we met two people who'd been raised from the dead. You know, one had a death certificate, got in the hospital, you know. And so her husband prayed for her. He was preaching at a crusade. And when he got back, he found his wife was dead. He'd gone to hospital and she died. And so he went off to the hospital and told God he couldn't put up with that. He couldn't stand for that. He needed his wife in his ministry. And he called out to God. And he shouted at God. God gave him a scripture to pray out of Isaiah. He prayed that scripture. When they checked up on his wife, who was going down to the mortuary, checked her pulse, there it was again. You know? And over the next 48 hours, she came right round. Hallelujah. Wonderful, isn't it? We met a woman in Holland, and most peculiar case this was. She had died, and she was, first of all, she was raised from the dead, wasn't she? And then she was in a wheelchair. It was most peculiar. I mean, she wasn't healed, but she was alive. You'd have thought God would have done a good job in one go, wouldn't you? But it wasn't like that at all. And she was at a meeting, and someone said, you know, that someone in a wheelchair could be healed. And he pointed to this particular person, and this person wouldn't move. You know, didn't believe it. So this woman who had died and been raised from the dead, she said, I'll take that. And so she got up out of her chair and walked. We had a case like that when in a meeting when a chap was ministering and he said, there's someone here who's blind in one eye, can't see, you know. And so this woman who we knew, actually knew personally, put her hand out. Oh, he said, it's not you. That was tough, wasn't it? Not you, somebody else. But she received it and she got healed. Hallelujah. So God responds to faith. And in the scriptures, as you know, there's talk about great faith. You know, the great faith of the centurion who said, you don't need to visit my servant, just say the word and he'll be healed. Or the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter, you know, needed deliverance. And all about the crumbs under the table. You remember that story. And she, because of her great faith, she wouldn't let Jesus go. He said, my mission is to the Jews mainly. All right, but she said, you know, she wanted her daughter healed. And he went on to Jesus and got on to him, you know, on and on. And in the end, he said, okay. And she was healed. And sometimes it seems that we have to pester God a bit, you know, for healing. Now, don't be afraid to ask and ask again. Sometimes there seems to be a partial healing. I mean, I can't explain it, but except, you know, there was a case in Jesus' ministry, wasn't there, where he prayed for a blind man. He said, can you see? Well, he said, it's like trees walking. He couldn't see properly. And so he prayed again, and he was healed. Totally. So, watch, be alert, look at, try and see what God's doing. don't be put off by the fact that it may be totally unexpected and in a way you would never have envisaged, never asked for or anything else, you know, and keep praying, which means keep in touch with God. We want to offer to pray with you now. God's in charge. We need to listen to what he says and do what he says. He can say anything at any time. I once had a prophecy from God in the middle of the night. He spoke to me. I didn't want to know. I was far more keen on sleeping until I realized what was going on. You know, I suppose he couldn't get through to me during the day, so he chose the night. You know, and God, it is amazing the things he can do. So this morning, if you haven't been sure that God is real or he's alive or that Jesus was his son and died on the cross and shed his blood that you could have new life and be born again, now's your chance. Right? Now's your chance. It's always the opportunity, but the sooner you take it, the better. For you especially. You know, here's the opportunity. So someone will pray with you. If you haven't received the baptism or the power of the Holy Spirit, then we'll pray again because that's so important, right? I was a local preacher in a denominational church for, trying to think, 9 years. Preached sort of intellectual sermons, never saw anybody saved, nobody healed, nobody delivered. What a record, you know. But I filled a pulpit many times. After I received the Holy Spirit, things were different. Things started to happen. So if you're a Christian without the power of God, then we'll pray for you, all right? And, you know, we very often gifts and things are passed on through the lake.